Bible says, but this man, talking about Jesus Christ, after he had offered up sacrifice for sin, once for all, set down the right hand of the throne of God. I'm glad this blood's all we'll ever need. Well, I want to call an audible this morning. I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 1, the 116th Psalm. And I've struggled really this week a little bit, going back and forth between two passages. But we're going to go to Psalm 116 this morning. We trust this is what the Lord has for us. Verse number 10, Psalm 116. And verse number 10 is what I'm interested in this morning. 116th Psalm. If you're there with me, say amen. Amen. The psalmist writes here and he says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Father, we ask you to bless the reading and teaching, preaching of your word. Lord, do what I cannot do. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you have free reign in the services today. Speak to me and through me. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The effect of faith is amazing. When you think about the fact that really, the Christian life, that's what it is. It's a life of faith. And so oftentimes, I think we forget that. And we don't realize really the magnitude. We don't realize what faith is really all about in our life. We don't realize the power of faith. We don't realize the effect that faith has upon our life. There is a mouthful and more that's said in this one verse right here where the psalmist speaks. And so I want to look at this morning, and just for the next few moments, I got about three titles for this message. You can pick the one you like the best. But I thought about the results of living by faith. I thought about just simply faith factor. But I really want to speak to you on more this thought of the character of faith. The character of faith. And so the psalmist, really just a short sentence in what he says, but I'm going to tell you it's chock full of a whole lot of truth. And so this morning I want to speak just on that thought. We'll call it the character of faith. And as we begin to look at this, again, notice the verse. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I want to speak to you first of all about the accusation of faith. The accusation of faith. The psalmist simply makes this statement, very, really subtle statement, but so powerful and will be so powerful in his life and even in his eternity. He simply said, I believe. I believed. He makes that accusation. Have you ever said that in your own life this morning? Have you ever truly said, I believe God? Have you ever really said that and meant it? I believe God for my salvation. I believe God when he said that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. I believe God when he said that he's not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. I believe God when the Bible says Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. Have you ever really said that in your life? I believe God. Have you ever really said, I believe God when he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believed, the psalmist said. What a powerful thing. I'm glad I can go back at a time in my life and I can say, without reserve, I believed. That's a past tense word, I believed, but it's also a continuing thing. Have you ever truly said that in your heart? I believe God for my salvation and meant it. And it's not about what my mama did and it's not about what my papa did. I believe God. It's not about what anybody else done. It's not even about what I've done. But it's all about what he's done. And my faith and my hope and my trust is in the Lord. I believe God for my salvation. I like what he said. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Have you believed God for your security? You see, we fret and we worry. I think about they're out in the boat that day. Jesus is asleep there in the bottom of the ship. They come, the disciples, the storm's raging, and maybe the storm's raging in your life this morning. and they were worried, and they were fearful, and they were afraid, and they go, they say, Master, carest not that we perish? Why are you so fearful? What do you say? O ye of little faith. You believe God for your security? No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. We need to believe God for our security. We need to believe God for our sufficiency. We need to believe God for our sustenance. We need to believe God. Have you ever truly said in your heart, I believe God enough to surrender to Him. I believe God enough to serve Him with my life. I believe God enough to be sanctified and separated unto Him. I believe God. This past week, we were sitting at the dinner table. I believe it was Monday night. And I had preached several messages, kind of just at least touched on surrender and giving your life to the Lord and serving your life with the Lord and all that. Messages had been preached throughout the week as they had chapel at school and those kinds of things. We're sitting there at the dinner table. And Emily said to me, I did something this week. You could tell it was an excitement. I said, you did? What'd you do? I did something this week. Did something, maybe it was yesterday, she said. She said, I surrendered my life to Jesus. Hallelujah. She's been saved, and we're thankful for that, but there's a difference in salvation and surrender. And God worked in her heart, and she surrendered, and oh, how that thrills my heart. And you know, just a couple Wednesday nights ago, I said something along the lines of this, that some way, we got to get our children to fall in love with Jesus. It's a great thing when somebody decides, I believe God. I believe He's the best thing for my life. Oh, we sing it. Lord, You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And somebody needs to believe God enough to serve Him, believe God enough to surrender to Him. You know what you're saying when you say, I believe God? You're saying, I believe His Word. That's what we have, right? We have His Word. You're saying, I believe His Word. You're saying, I believe that God is right and everything else is wrong. Oh, let God be true and every man a liar. Listen, we need to get to the place in our life where we quit wondering and worrying about and listening to what everybody else says, and we need to come to a place in our life where we fully trust and rely on what God said and say, I believe God. I tell you something, we believe the false news media. We believe the lying politicians. It's high time that somebody makes up their mind in a world that's full of error, in a world that's full of falsehood, in a world that's full of untruths. It's about time that somebody stands up and steps up and speaks up and says, I don't know about you, but I believe God. Oh, the psalmist, what a mouthful. But he made an accusation of faith. He made a confession of faith. Have you ever said that in your life? Honestly. Lord, I believe. You see, here's the thing. When I die, and it's going to happen someday, I know. And when I do pass through death's door and I get to heaven, it's not going to be, oh, and the Lord looks at me and He says, why shall I let you into my heaven? It will not be, well, I was a preacher. It will not be, I was a pastor. It will not be, well, I did these good deeds or those good deeds or I did any of those things. But I'm going to say, Lord, You said in Your Word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe God. I believe God. You see, I had to come to a place in my life when I had gotten away from the Lord through my teenage years. We were pulled out of church, and it's a long story to go into. But my mom and dad threw a divorce. And I remember when I started to really, and I still had the hunger for God. I still read the Bible. I still did some things periodically, but I wasn't walking with the Lord. And I remember in my early 20s, we'd been married for a few years, and when we really got back into church and serving God, and I began to struggle with it. Well, maybe I wasn't saved. Maybe I wouldn't have done those things. And I did. I made an up confession, got baptized. And God showed me through all that I was saved. But He gave me assurance, and that's what I needed. But I'm going to tell you this. I had to come to a place in my life where I said, Lord, You said in Your Word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. we confess our sins, we confess to Him, the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God raised from the dead, and I said, Lord, I've done that, and I meant business. And either you're going to keep your word or you're not. You know what I was saying? Lord, I believe you. I believe your word. Oh, listen, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My hope is in the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Don't call upon, I don't feel saved. You're not always going to feel saved. But God's word's true, and we can believe Him. Amen. The accusation of faith. I know how important it is to make an accusation of faith and verbally proclaim, I believe God, but we can't stop there. We're going to see any lasting results. But you notice another character of faith. Not only the accusation of faith, notice the action of faith. He says here, verse number 10, I believe. Now watch this. The very next word, therefore. In other words, based upon the fact that I believed, he says, therefore have I spoken. In other words, listen, there is an action that comes with our faith, amen? Something that it ought to trigger in us, our faith. It ought to trigger. So if we believe, he says, therefore this happened. Therefore I have spoken. In other words, his faith moved him to action. Can I just tell you, in many ways, our faith ought to move us to action. Oh yes, faith without works is dead. I don't believe you work to get saved, but I believe that you work because you are saved. Oh, we're not working for salvation, but we work from salvation. And our faith ought to move us to action. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. Watch this, then he says this, we also believe, therefore we speak. Can I tell you the first place that ought to move us to action? In our witness. In our witness. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. I believe, therefore have I spoken. If you're a Christian, if you're saved by the grace of God, I talked the other night about our testimony. Boy, we ought to be giving our testimony. If you've been saved this morning, you have a story to tell. Oh, listen, the Bible says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And buddy, we need to say so. The Bible says, that we're a light. We're a light in a dark world. It says, should a man hide his, take his light, his candle, and hide it under a bushel? No. But hold it up for the whole world to see. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Oh, yes, we ought to say some things with our life, but we also ought to say them with our lips. It ought to affect our witness. One Bible scholar said, the most powerful speech which has ever been uttered by the lip of man has emanated from a heart fully persuaded of the truth of God. You get that? I'm reading again. One Bible scholar said, he said, the most powerful speech which has ever been uttered by the lip of man has emanated from a heart fully persuaded of the truth of God. Other words, when you really believe. I told you the other night about Charlie, and he said, I know when you preach, you believe every word that you're saying. We got to have the right belief, first of all, and have a steadfast belief and faith, and people need to see that in our life and know that what we're telling them about the Lord and how good He is and how good He's been is something that we've lived, something that it's a testimony, something that we've seen God do in our own life. I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's an action thing. The action of faith, not only our witness, but all affect our walk. I believe, therefore have I spoken. It's an action thing. In Psalm 116, verse 9, the Bible says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk before. Now, we could talk about walking before. We could talk about walking behind. We could talk about walking beside. I want you to understand, when he says, I'm walking before. Now, if you walk before the Lord, it's not talking about running in front of God, getting ahead of God. It's talking about the fact you realizing and having an all understanding that a holy God, a thrice holy God, looks down and every deed you do and every place you go and everything you do, that He can see you because you're walking before Him. You're under His all-seeing eye. He says, I walk before the Lord. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, I'm going to do right and be right, but I'm going to be on my best behavior. Why? Because I know God sees me. And listen, when we believe, it ought to affect our walk. Because we understand there's a God in heaven who sees Every single thing that we do, we believe we're not going to walk, as the Bible says, in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate therein day and night. And then he'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in due season. Oh, listen, we'll not walk the way the world walks. It's about faith. Your faith should affect your entire life. I'm amazed that folks say, oh yeah, I'm saved, but there's zero evidence. Faith is an action word. It ought to affect our witness. It ought to affect our walk. It ought to affect our words. We've been talking in Sunday school about communication as far as marriage goes. It ought to affect our words. Those things that you used to say as an old sinner, we know you're still a sinner, but you're saved by grace and there ought to be a change in your life. I'm still a sinner. But some of those words used to come out of our mouth. Ought not come out of our mouth. Some of those jokes we used to tell ought to not be told. You understand? The action of faith, it ought to affect our witness. It ought to affect our walk. That's the character of faith. Therefore, he says, I said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. It affects all areas of our life. But you notice the third thing. Not only the action of faith, the accusation of faith, but notice the affliction of faith. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Then he says this, I was greatly afflicted. Probably the most misunderstood thing about faith is that when we put our faith in God, our life from then on will be smooth sailing. And a lot of it is because a lot of that ideology came from here, by the way, not this one, but from a lot of pulpits. You know, the health wealth preachers, you know, name it, claim it, all that kind of stuff. But there's an ideology about, and what happens is they get discouraged, and many times they're saved, but they never really walk with God, because as soon as they get saved, pow! The devil begins to stomp on them and step on them. He says, I know I can't ever have your soul, but I can ruin your life. I was greatly afflicted. I want you to notice two main things about this affliction of faith. Notice the manner of affliction. The manner of affliction. The word translated afflicted, it involves persecution. It involves injury. It involves scorn and harm. And listen, after faith comes the battle. Listen, faith does fix a whole lot of things in your life. I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. But the character of faith brings with it affliction. Just the fact that you believe God, there's some people not going to like you. There's a lot of people going to speak against you, ridicule you, mock you, talk about you, be rude to you. Had a lady, I was at Bel Air Grill, it's been a little while now. And I began to speak to her. She'd been my waitress before. I'd left Tracks before, but I didn't really ever talk to her about the Lord. And I began to talk to her a little bit. And buddy, I mean, you'd see night to day. She just completely changed on me, turned, and, you know, made some comment. I had my own religion or something, turned and walked off. Mad, you know. I was very kind. Left the track. Left money. Left a better tip than normal. And since then, I don't know what happened, but she's been super nice anytime I ever see her anymore. Affliction. It's part of it. You believe God, some people are not going to like you. I want you to go with me somewhere, and we'll look at this in Hebrews chapter 10. We miss this thing that faith brings affliction in our life. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Verse 32. It's a great passage of Scripture, by the way. He talks about how it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God, or excuse me, to fall in the hands of a living God. And it is a fearful thing for a Christian. It's a fearful thing for a lost person. But don't you notice verse 32 and 33. He's trying to encourage these Hebrew believers. He's trying to encourage them to earnestly be steadfast and stick with the faith and hold out and all that. And notice what he says, but call to remembrance. We talked the other night about he that lacketh those virtues, remember? He that lacketh these things are blind and cannot see afar off and they've forgotten. So once again, there's a call of remembrance here. Watch this. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. What was that? They just got saved. Go back and remember when you got saved. He said, you endured, what does he say? A great fight of what? What does he say? Afflictions. After you were, watch this, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And then he goes on, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, partly whilst you were became companions of them, or so you don't say what this is talking about. He says, partly, You endured a great, there's that word great again. We just read it in our text, but then there it is again, great afflictions. He said you endured a great fight of afflictions. And he talks about partly was when you were made a gazing stock. You know what that is? That was that crowd that you thought would be happy that you got saved, but instead said something like this, well, we'll see. We'll see if it lasts. We'll see if it really sticks. And you're a gazing stock. They're just watching and waiting on you to quit. They're just watching and waiting on you to fail and falter and fall on your face or something. Well, when something comes in his life, we'll see how big his God is then. That's why it's so critical, I tell you, when you go through a storm, we don't weep like others weep and suffer like others suffer. Oh, we do have heartache and pain, and we weep with those who do weep. But we have hope. We don't need to live like there is no hope. He says, partly while you had these great fight of afflictions, partly was when you became a gazing stock. And it's that crowd immediately when you get saved. Everybody's not going to be excited because you got saved, by the way, and that you are saved. Everybody, when you finally come to that place where you decide, I'm going to surrender my life and give my life to the Lord, we're going to get serious about this thing of coming to church, we're going to get serious about this thing of serving God, we're going to get serious about this thing of reading our Bible and prayer and witnessing to others and all those things of giving, and we're going to get serious. Listen, don't be surprised when there's opposition. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We see the magnitude. Not only do we see the manner, but we see, notice now, the magnitude of affliction. The manner of affliction, we've seen that. But then notice the magnitude. He says greatly. There's that word, greatly. Back in our text, verse 10, I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. Those trials and troubles that come to you, sometimes are great trials, because of your faith, by the way, are great trials. They're great trials. We need to understand, I think sometimes that, you know, we ought not be doom and gloom. Listen, there's nothing ever better than being a Christian in any, I like what Paul said. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the joy that's waiting on us. Oh, listen, what we suffer in the trials and the afflictions, yes, they're bad, but they're not nearly as bad as what salvation is good. Having God is good. And these troubles and trials, they can be great. But we're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to earnestly contend for the faith. You know what the results of faith look like? When we have faith and we hold on to our faith, victory, success. Psalm 27, verse 13. I want you to write that verse down. I want you to remember this verse. Psalm 27, 13. I had fainted. Psalmist writes, same one that's writing this, just a few chapters later. I had fainted unless I had believed. You see that? To see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You're in those afflictions. You may be in a storm today. You may be in a trial of your life. Afflictions come with faith. Don't let anybody tell you any different. You see, that's why so many people are discouraged, because they're looking for nothing but you know, candy canes and roses. And sometimes it's not all that. Sometimes it's other things. Sometimes it is afflictions. Sometimes it's persecution. Sometimes the money's low. Sometimes the debts are high. Sometimes, oh, listen, there's trial and tribulation. Oh, but we need to fret not. I love Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Psalm 27:13, the psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed. Can I tell you this? Your faith, don't miss this, your faith in those times of afflictions, your faith in those times of trial is the only thing many times that'll keep you going. I had fainted. I would have fainted. I would have faltered. I would have been done unless I had believed. Your faith will keep you going, friend, when nothing else will. Oh, listen, that's why we walk by faith, not by sight. What doesn't you look at the outlook, you look at this world, you look at the outlook of your, maybe even the circumstances surrounding your life, and it don't look very good. Oh, but we can have the all-seeing eye of faith and see something that's a whole lot better down the road. I had fainted unless I had believed, he says. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We've got to have faith. You want to have something that will help you overcome anything and everything you'll ever face in this old wicked world? Learn to have faith. Learn to have faith. Jesus looked at his disciples one day when he knew he was fixing to leave. He wanted them to be equipped for all that they would face, all the opposition, all the problems, all the ridicule, all the things that they would face out in this world. In fact, he said to them, he said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. He understood the danger and all that they would face. And he looked at them one day in the midst of all of it. He's trying to teach them. He's trying to equip them. And he says this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You want to have something that will help you overcome the world? You want to have something that will help you overcome those predicaments, those trials, those troubles, those problems? That's why he told his disciples, have faith in God, because he knew his disciples were not going to make it. They wouldn't be victorious. They would not be successful in the, in the task at hand if they weren't people of faith. I wonder this morning, how's your faith? We sometimes we talk about and deal with everything else than we do faith, and faith is the crux. Faith is what it's all about. Faith, we begin by faith. We're saved by faith. We walk and continue in faith. One day, praise God, we'll die in faith. It's all faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. And without faith, it's still impossible to please God. And I wonder, how's your faith? Have you ever made a confession of faith? Have you ever said, honestly, from your heart, and from your lips, I believe God. You ever made that accusation? You ever truly made a confession? I believe God. How about your action? Are you a closet Christian? Our faith ought to affect our witness. There ought to be many people here at Friend Day because you have faith. And because you have faith, it's going to affect who you ask. It's going to, because you, not only do you have faith in God, but you have faith that what God did for you, God can do for them. He can change their life. It ought to affect our witness. It ought to affect our words, how we speak. It ought to affect our walk. I meet so many people that, you know, I'm a Christian, saying they have faith. They believe in God, but it's like, live any old way, do any old thing, and there's no evidence in their life of any of it. While we stand for prayer this morning, how's your faith? See, the character of faith, it involves accusation. You've got to start there. It involves action, but it also involves affliction. Maybe you're here this morning and there's some affliction in your life. I remember the passage of Scripture there, the disciples, and it's another time, training time of Jesus. He's trying to train and teach his disciples to have faith, really. And he's trying to teach them to pray. And he begins to teach them some things about praying, preaching or not in temptation, pray all these things. And He begins to talk to them and tell them then more about how that they're to forgive and how they're to love those that hate them, do good to those that persecute them. You know what those disciples said? Oh Lord, strengthen our faith. I've had so many people, they'll say something like this to me, Preacher, I just can't live it. I've tried and I failed. I said, you're right, you can't. We need more faith. I can't get through this. We need more faith. I wonder if you'd come this morning and ask God to help your faith. I remember the disciple, he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou now my unbelief. The reality is, I'm glad it just takes a faith a grain of a mustard seed. Amen. Just a grain of a mustard seed. While we sing, why don't you do business with the Lord? Ask God where you need to have faith. Maybe it's the beginning of faith. You need to believe. You've never believed. You've never said with your lips and said with your life, I believe God. You come now while we sing. Amen.